but our will and character that is being tested tonight. For months, Nixon and Kissinger, his national security advisor, had said they had a plan to get the United States out of Vietnam. Now, suddenly, they were widening the war into a neighboring country. 4 days after Nixon's speech, National Guardsmen opened fire at Kent State, killing 4 students who were protesting the invasion. 9 more were wounded. 2 weeks later, at Jackson State, police shot into a group of protesting African-American students, killing 2 and wounding 12. Schelling bore some intellectual responsibility for America's involvement in Vietnam. He had a mind like a computer, which he used to apply mathematical formulas to military strategy. Whether one was deterring the Russians or deterring one's own children, he said, the problem was the same: to figure out the proper ratio of threat to incentive. Lyndon B. Johnson and his Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, directly applied Schelling's theories, bombing North Vietnam as a form of behavior modification. Schelling also had a large influence on the men who would take over America's Vietnam policy from Johnson and McNamara, particularly on Henry Kissinger. Kissinger had taught at Harvard before he joined the Nixon White House, and he considered Schelling a friend. He had adopted the economist's insights, especially the idea that bargaining power comes from the capacity to hurt, to cause sheer pain and damage. It was a sentiment that Kissinger would try to operationalize in Southeast Asia. By 1970, though, Schelling had turned against the war, and the U.S. invasion of Cambodia prompted him, along with 11 other prominent Harvard professors, to travel to Washington to meet with Kissinger and register their objections. This was no ordinary group of anti-war intellectuals. Over the years, different labels have been applied to the kind of men who moved easily between Washington and Cambridge, between the classroom and the war room, the Eastern establishment, the best and the brightest, the power elite. These were them. The Harvard delegation included 2 Nobel laureates, a future Nobel laureate, Schelling, physicists, chemists, economists, and political scientists. Many of them were former advisors to presidents going back to Harry Truman. A number of the group had been involved in executing policies that led to early American involvement in Vietnam. Serious men, they took their break with the administration seriously. "This is too much," one told a reporter, referring to the invasion. Others were disturbed about the coarsening of public discourse brought on by the war. Professors and liberals, same thing, was how Nixon's Undersecretary of Defense, David Packard, dismissed the delegation. One member, Ernest May, a Harvard dean and military historian with close ties to the Pentagon, told Kissinger, "You're tearing the country apart domestically." Kissinger's former colleagues weren't aware that Nixon and Kissinger had already been secretly bombing Cambodia and Laos for over a year, and would continue to bomb for 3 more before Congress put an end to it. They knew only about the invasion, and that was bad enough. "Sickening," Schelling said. Today, in the United States, a shared and largely unquestioned assumption, irrespective of political affiliation, holds that Washington has the right to use military force against the safe havens of terrorists or potential terrorists, even if those havens are found in sovereign countries we are not at war with. This assumption was the premise of George W. Bush's 2002 invasion of Afghanistan and Barack Obama's expansion of drone attacks in Somalia, Yemen, and Pakistan, along with his most recent military operations against Islamic State militants in Syria and Iraq. This reasoning was not widely held in 1970. Schelling's Harvard delegation rejected Kissinger's attempt to justify the invasion by citing the need to destroy communist sanctuaries. As one reporter summed up the group's objections, violation of a neutral country's sovereignty could be used by anyone else in the world as a precedent for invading another country in order, for example, to clear out terrorists. Even if the invasion succeeded on its own terms and cleared out enemy sanctuaries,